Oh no, the customer didn't like my product. The evaluation didn't go well. What am I going to do? Ah! Have you ever had an evaluation go bad? Let's talk about that. Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast. This is Mace Haroff, and you are at the podcast for medical sales professionals. That is you. That's why you're here. And every week, what I do is try to bring you some relevant information that will help you in your medical sales career to sell more, to get your product into the hands of healthcare professionals and institutions who can help their patients to have better outcomes, better lives, heal them from illness and disease. And to be able to do that, you are extremely lucky and you contribute to the well-being of many, many people. But what do you do when you have a great product and you get a physician or other healthcare professional to evaluate your product and it doesn't go well? And that's going to happen. Now, sometimes, let's be honest, it is the fault of the product. And if it's the fault of the product, then maybe your product needs some fine tuning. Maybe it needs to have some changes made. But what we find, what I have found in all the years I've been doing this, is that often most of the people are out there selling a product, they know that it works. In fact, in healthcare, most products go through some type of clinical trial, which demonstrate their safety and efficacy. So we know that the products work. Now, every now and then, there could be a product that needs to have a recall. There could be a fault with the product, something that got past quality control checks. But what I've found as a salesperson and working with salespeople for over 30 years is that a lot of times when there's a problem with a product, it's the end user who has done something to cause the product to work in a way that is less than the way the product was designed. In other words, the healthcare professional isn't using it right. Have you ever seen that? Now, this is a really tough situation to be in because no one wants to point a finger at one of their customers, especially if that customer is a surgeon or a therapist, you know, someone who is very well trained at using the type of products you sell, yet you've noticed that they didn't use your product the right way. So what do you do in this situation? First of all, let's try to prevent it from happening. You know that in servicing, proper training is paramount to having an evaluation go well. Yet I understand, in fact, I understand all too well that a lot of times your customers won't give you the time to do the thorough in-servicing and evaluation that is necessary. A common situation will be, let's say that you have a product that's used in the operating room, for example, and the surgeon will say, well, you're going to be there for the procedure, right? Okay, you could talk me through it. This happens more times than any of us like to admit. And instead of saying, you know, doctor, let's take a few minutes now because I really need to put it in your hand, need to make sure you understand how this instrument operates, how this implant is assembled, whatever the scenario is, many reps won't take the time to force the issue. And that is a huge mistake because once you're in the operating room, and we know, we've seen surgeons who tend to work on autopilot. They've done it so many times, and they're steps ahead of you that when they're handed an instrument, even and especially when it's an instrument or product which is different than what they're using, they tend to operate it the same way as the product they're used to using. And this could be disastrous. So the proper training and in-servicing is essential to prevent this from ever happening. But a big concern that a lot of sales representatives have is after the evaluation, they know they have a good product, but the surgeon didn't use it right, and the surgeon is really unhappy with the results and might say something like, you know, your product's a piece of crap, I'm never using it again. And if you're in a situation where the doctors or the user has to vote in a committee to approve or disapprove the product, what you don't want is someone, especially someone who's going to be very vocal, who's going to vote against your product, who's going to be an adversary of your product. So this is a very, very big fear. So what do you do in this situation? Let's talk about that for a moment, because you're going to find yourself in this situation. Naturally, you'd like to try to understand and change the feelings of the healthcare professional who used your product. So this requires that you get together with them, and this may not be easy to do, especially if the person did not like using your product. They may not want to talk about it anymore. But if right after the case is usually the best time to approach them and say, tell me your thoughts about this. Where was the problem? Where were you dissatisfied? Where do you think that the outcome was less than what you expect? And just let them talk and listen. Don't jump in to defend it right away. Listen to them. Because what they're doing right now is they are voicing an objection. Now, as a salesperson, you know how to handle objections. At least I hope you do. And the reality is that most medical salespeople do a very, very poor job at this. They don't handle objections well. They tend to want to jump right in and fix the objection, which is about the worst thing you could do. If you need some help handling objections, check out Medical Sales Academy, because in Medical Sales Academy, we teach you a proven process for handling objections with healthcare professionals. You can find out more at medicalsalesacademy.com. But the thing I want you to take away right now is give your customer an opportunity to talk. And more importantly, you need to listen. Listen to what they're saying. Now, once you understand what it is, try to handle the objection. But more importantly, understand when you're not going to be able to do that. Understand when the customer is blaming the product, blaming you, and you don't want to overdo it. What you don't want to do is enrage the customer in a way where not only is he unhappy with the product, but now he or she is going to launch on a crusade to keep your product and you out of the account. That's what you don't want. At the very minimum, understand where the problem was and understand what the customer's feelings were. Now, you might think that that's not enough to counter it because the customer still doesn't want to use the product. All right, here's the goal. You can't win every sale. And if you can, if there's an opportunity where you can change the product, you can change the customer's perception, you can get them to invest some time in understanding how to use it, then by all means do that. But when you have someone who is absolutely recalcitrant, when he or she says, you know what, I'm never using your product again, I'm going to vote against it, please don't call on me with respect to this product anymore. What you have to do now is to launch a counteroffensive. And the counteroffensive is not designed to make that doctor or healthcare professional look bad. The counteroffensive is designed to create raving fans. And here's the situation. If you are in the type of situation that I just described, where you have someone who didn't use the product correctly, and you know that when someone uses the product correctly, they're happy with it, then what you need to do is basically isolate that person and isolate his or her feelings such that in a voting situation, they are going to be overshadowed by satisfied customers. So your best offensive move is to go out there and create raving fans. And this is very similar to the advice that people have today with social media when they are evaluating vendors and businesses in the general public. Take, for example, a restaurant who gets a bad review on Yelp, for example. Someone says, oh, the food was terrible, the service was awful, I'm never going back there. In fact, I got sick afterwards. If you're the restaurant owner, what are you going to do? You can't go out there and call that person a liar, saying that they're an idiot, because all that does is alienate you, the restaurant owner, and your restaurant from the rest of the public. What you want to do is go out there and ask your raving fans, the people who love your restaurant, to post really positive reviews. Because when you have a lot of positive reviews, it drowns out the negativity in there. And just like in social media, sooner or later, it disappears. You want to try and do the same thing in your account. Now, granted, you're not going to have or be able to generate hundreds of positive reviews. Normally, there aren't that many users for your product. But let's say that you have five. Let's say there's five users for your product. And you have one bad review, one doctor or other healthcare professional who hates it. If you could go out there and generate two, three, or more, then what it does is it basically minimizes that person's feelings or that person's perception of your product, even if that person is one of the key users, and this can be difficult. You know, if you have three positive evaluations from healthcare professionals who are occasional users, and the one person is a heavy user, he or she is the high volume user of that product, could be a problem. Could be a problem. But in the very least, it may be enough to provide some leverage where you could go to that healthcare professional and say, you know, no one else has a problem with it. Here's why they like it. Here's what they found. Could you give it another try? Could you give it another chance? And let me show you some of the nuances. You know, really what you have to do is generate and present enough value to warrant the unhappy customer giving it another chance. And then make sure that user has the insight and the knowledge and the actual hands-on experience such that it's going to go well. You see, that's why I talked about up front. It's so important to make sure that these initial evaluations go well, because you may not get a second chance to make a good first impression. But a lot of times those first impressions aren't your fault. They're going to be the fault of a user who just didn't use it right or has a preconceived notion. Or let's be honest, a lot of times your customers, if they're loyal fans of another product or another sales rep, they don't want your evaluation to go right. In fact, they may be using it just so they could go to the hospital, for example, and say, yeah, you know, I tried the XYZ product. I don't like it as well as what I'm using. So do what you can to keep these situations from ever happening. But when they do, if you are there for the evaluation, then at least you can tell an accurate story of what went on and make sure the story is accurate. If you're not there, then talk to people who were there. Try to find out from other personnel what happened, where the user had difficulty with your product. So if you have a user in your territory who is unhappy with your product, your best offense is to go out there and sell your butt off to make sure that you're able to bring enough positive customers into the fold that they are able to drown that person out. And this isn't always possible. I acknowledge that. But hopefully it will motivate you to find ways to convert the other users in your territory such that the antagonistic customer feels like, well, maybe I need to give this guy's product or this gal's product another chance. You know, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it was me. But also, if they're at a surgeon's committee or a committee of therapists or nurses, and someone says, that's a great product, I really like that we changed to it, then they're going to start to say, well, maybe, you know, I should look at it again. Or they will get some instruction or some insight from one of their colleagues on how they use it and why they like it. And that's one of the best things that could happen to you. Here's what I want to caution you about. Don't make an enemy or a bigger enemy out of that person. Don't try to tell them that they're wrong. Don't get in their face and say, you didn't use this right. Understand where the problems were. Try to suggest ways that they could get a better outcome. But when that's not working, back off and go and start to recruit the positive people who will drown out the negative tones coming from that party. Hopefully this makes sense. And if you want to discuss it some more, here at the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, there is a comment section. Leave some comments. If you're listening on iTunes, please go to medicalsalesguru.com and leave a comment. I'll join back in. We'll get other people to join back in, and we can discuss these situations and help you to handle them in a better way. Because when you handle them, again, what happens? You're going to sell more. And if you got a great product, that's good for you, it's good for the healthcare professionals, and ultimately, it's good for the patient, right? Right. And you got to believe that. You got to believe that it's good for the patient, because that has to be what drives you. If you're not passionate about your product, if you're not passionate in believing that it's the best thing, that the healthcare professionals need to use this because it's going to be the right thing for their patients. If you don't believe that with every fiber that's in you, you're going to have a hard time selling your products. So maybe you need to convince yourself first. I'm just saying, because the patient is the most important person in the equation, isn't it? Whatever you do in your medical sales career, my friends, the patient always comes first. Now go out there and do something. Make a difference. For the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, this is Mace Haroff. I will talk to you again next week. Bye for now.